Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson I just read from Mark chapter 1. If you would like to follow along with the written sermon notes this morning, you'll find those written notes at the bottom of page 2 in the bulletin. If I were to ask you, what is your favorite month of the year? My guess is that few, maybe none of you, would respond by saying January or February. Am I right? Maybe a few, maybe not so much. January and February in Kansas City are dark, often cold, sometimes snowy. Add to that no Chiefs or Royals, maybe next year Chiefs fans, and January and February can seem to drag on and on. But there is an encouraging thing about this time of the year, and that is more light. From mid-December, when we have the day that has the shortest amount of daylight, from that time forward, the daylight hours get a little bit longer, and we're far enough along now that you can notice that. And that brings at least some encouragement that spring is not too far off. More light, less darkness. That's a good thing. Epiphany, the season of light, follows a similar trajectory. As the Epiphany season unfolds, we see Jesus, the light of the world, being more and more revealed to the world around him. So it is as we follow Jesus and his life and ministry through the words of Mark's gospel this liturgical year. Mark, in this Epiphany season, is showing us the one who is greater than. For Mark, writing down John the Baptist's words, "After me comes he who is mightier than I." To Jesus' teaching with authority in a way that people had never experienced before. To Jesus casting out demons. To Jesus healing those who are ill. We see Jesus, the light of the world, being revealed as greater than. Greater than the forces of darkness. Greater than that which ails us. At the beginning of Mark's gospel, Jesus proclaims, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus comes to restore all things, to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus comes to restore relationships that are broken because of sin. Our relationship between us and God, our relationships with one another, our relationship within ourselves and accepting ourselves as God has made us to be, our relationship with God's beautiful creation. By his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ has come to restore all things, to restore those relationships. He comes to show us how God's rule in our world and in our lives extends to all of these relationships. It's not just that we are, quote, saved, but that we, as followers of Jesus, live different lives because he has come to us with his light. Best of all, Jesus has both the power and the love to make all things right. Jesus, the one who is greater than has the power to make things right. But power without love is frightening. And love without power, while it may be comforting, in the end is not all that effective. But power joined with love means that Jesus brings his light into our lives to restore us, to bring healing to us, just as he brought healing to those who lived in Capernaum long ago. Yes, Jesus is greater than. He is greater than our fears, greater than the forces of evil, greater than whatever it is that afflicts us. And he is greater than those broken places in our lives because of sin. Let me get personal this morning. Where are you broken? Where are you most impacted by sin and its consequences? Maybe your relationship with God has grown cold and seems formulaic and dry. Maybe your relationship with your spouse or a parent or a child or a friend is close to collapsing. Maybe you have given up trying to care for your body or find yourself addicted to alcohol or to drugs. Maybe you have lost the idea that God has made us managers over his creation and calls us to care for it. Maybe you have all but given up the hope of positive changes, stuck in ruts of sin and brokenness with no hope and no light. Only you know where that brokenness caused by sin is most entrenched in your life. Only you and Jesus. Only you and the one who is able. Only you and the one who is greater than. Only you and the one who comes to shine his light of grace and mercy into your life, bringing to you hope and restoration through the balm of his grace. He indeed has both the power and the love to make all things right in your life. But there is yet one more way in which Jesus, the light of the world, is greater than. Jesus is also greater than our vision of the kingdom. Jesus' first disciples would have been content, I'm sure, as well as those people in the town of Capernaum, if Jesus had just stayed there and continued to heal people and preach and teach. My guess is they would have looked at one another and said, "Hey, this is great." And sometimes that is our mentality as well. But Jesus' vision of the kingdom is far greater than ours. It is not limited to Mission, Kansas, or Shawnee, Kansas, or Kansas City, or the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Jesus said, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Jesus came to restore all things here, but also there, and there, and there, and there, literally to the very ends of the earth. And he uses you and me to be a part of that extension of his kingdom, to share the love and grace of Jesus in our lives, that others may receive that precious salve of the gospel. Are you up for the challenge? Let the light of Christ shine more and more in your life. Let the one who is greater than bring hope and restoration to your life. And let him use you to be a blessing in the lives of others. After all, that's why he came. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.